Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. If you want to advertise with us, you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any inquiries there. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls as well. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And so, Cody, are we just like, is our entire job now just like talking and writing about how awesome Jimmy Butler is just on a night-to-night basis?
I feel like we've done this podcast several times recently, and that's basically because we have. Jimmy Butler has now recorded three 40-point games in the last six contests, the latest being a brilliant 42-point effort on Saturday night at the United Center, as we record here late, in which he basically rallied the Bulls past the Raptors 123-118 in overtime because he is awesome at basketball. 32 points after halftime, 32 of his 42, and 15 in the third quarter. He was just brilliant for long stretches again. Rajon Rondo benched for the fourth straight game, reached the point where Fred Hoiberg said after the game, Jimmy Butler is basically our point guard right now, and he made all the plays they needed down the stretch. They got some energy from the bench to kind of get that run going a little bit, Nico and Doug more in the fourth quarter, but Jimmy is just killing it. 34 points per game over the last six contests, Sean. Like, what is getting into him?
Well, so this is kind of an interesting thing. You know, he kind of deflected MVP talk like he usually does, but Dwayne Wade
afterwards MVP was very, question time
was very, very eager to say he's in that category of special players. And I actually kind of overheard a couple of team staffers talking about how good his case for Eastern Conference Player of the Week is going to look, and I can't say I disagree. You know, 38 points per game in three games, and three quality wins over Eastern Conference opponents. That's the thing. They've beaten the Hornets, the Raptors, and
The Cavs.
And, you know, this win against the Raptors, like, they looked awful in the first half. Like, it just looked like this was going to be a blowout. They were going to maybe come back down to earth a little bit after those two impressive wins against the Hornets and the
Cavs there. And the thing is, Jimmy, Bulls were down 13 at halftime. They were down as many as 19 points at one point. And it's like the Bulls, the lineup the Bulls went with down the stretch was Chris Felicio, Nico Mirotic, Dwayne Wade, Doug McDermott, and Jimmy Butler. And it's crazy because it's like you give Jimmy a couple shooters, and all of a sudden he can just absolutely change everything with the way he plays. Because he was so good, so consistent. His reads and decision-making were just phenomenal throughout this whole entire game. And he was finding Nico, Doug, Dwayne, putting them in the best situations when he wasn't scoring himself. And I think more than anything, that's what stands out to me with Jimmy, is his decision-making in taking over what is almost a full-time point guard role right now. He's been so good at that. And a lot of that, I think, Sean, is probably preparation and studying the game and everything like that.
Yeah, and this is also something that, you know, that Hoiberg has been talking about with these last few spectacular games from Jimmy, is that he's been doing it without really having to force a lot of really difficult shots. He's just been taking a lot of shots in the flow of the offense. And a lot of it, and I hate to just keep piling on the Rondo thing, but just ever since Rondo has not been out there, and they have kind of got away from the whole three alphas thing, and they've been playing him more with Doug and Nico, where you have some floor spacers out there, he just has so much more room to operate.
Yeah, and down the stretch, I thought what stood out to me was the Bulls went to the Jimmy Butler, Doug McDermott, 1-3 pick and roll, almost like exclusively in overtime and down the stretch of the fourth quarter. And that's notable because they hadn't run, they'd run it some before, but they'd never committed to it as much as they did on this night. And it wasn't even like, it's not even about Doug McDermott setting hard screens really, Sean. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just him being over there and forcing a switch or a little distraction, a little chaos for the defense on one side of the court, and then they kind of spread everyone else out to the corners as far away as they can or whatever. And keeping Nico short-sided or one pass away is always good for him too, because he's at least a threat that they have to respect in a way they might not respect, obviously, Dwayne Wade behind the three-point arc quite as much, even though Dwayne Wade's shooting probably a couple percentage higher. Like, there's a little more respect there, but that's the two-shooter idea that Jimmy Butler is obviously, he seems to be endorsing it with his play and his words about how he's liking playing with these guys down the stretch. But Doug and Jimmy, I don't know what it is exactly. The other thing maybe is because Doug is good at cutting. He had a backdoor cut tonight. Jimmy found him on after a pick and roll for a big dunk. Stuff like that. They seem to be knowing each other a little bit better, their games a little bit better, maybe meshing. And I thought that was important because the Bulls going to that reflects that Doug McDermott and Jimmy Butler probably, because it worked against a good team, is probably going to continue to be run, I would guess, moving forward. And Dwayne Wade, too, after the game, endorsed this kind of idea from Hoiberg in that regard, saying, we finally know what we're doing. I shouldn't say finally. He said, we have figured out what we are doing late in games in our sets, and we didn't earlier in the year have confidence in that, and we lost games we shouldn't have, and now we're doing it and we're winning. What did you think of the late game execution and just all the sets and plays?
Well, they were just getting everything. I mean, I don't know how much of it was that and how much of it was the Raptors just completely melted down, which I don't know. I mean, obviously it's kind of a cliche that, yeah, the Bulls always beat the Raptors, but just they just looked like a completely different team in the first half than the second half.
Yeah, I don't attribute this to a meltdown. Like, the Raptors didn't play bad basketball. Their defense got a little leaky. There's no doubt about that. But they had 11 turnovers. That's brilliant basketball for an overtime game, the Raptors. They got a lot of good shots. They didn't make, obviously, quite as many as they wanted to. And the last sequence of regulation is the one the Raptors are regretting because they got a stop on the Bulls. It was tied.
They had two chances at a game winner, Lowry, one by DeRozan.
So this play needs talked about, too. We need to talk about it because they gave the ball to Jimmy Butler. The Raptors got the ball out of Jimmy's hands and into Dwayne Wade's, kind of near the top of the key with the shot clock running down. Dwayne Wade took it strong to the hoop, and there was contact. I haven't seen a detailed replay. I don't know if he was actually fouled. The officials did not call a foul, though. Dwayne Wade complained to the officials while the Raptors grabbed the rebound, the loose ball, and got the ball to Kyle Lowry, who throws it across the court to DeMar DeRozan, while Dwayne Wade sprints back down the court after spending a second or two too long talking to the officials. And I think in the postgame press conference, maybe this was directed at Dwayne Wade too a little bit by Jimmy Butler. Jimmy went out of his way to say, we have to stop talking to the officials. Jimmy framed it well because he said, and that starts with me. But
it's
biggest
clearly,
play
it's
of the
one
game.
It's one guy on the team that really talks to the refs, and it's kind of the Banana Boat Squad modus operandi, if you look at the other members of the squad.
That's a very good point. Dwayne Wade loves talking to the officials, and on the biggest play of the game, I believe, again, I need to see a replay, but I feel like he got back into the play, but it was already late. And DeMar DeRozan's the guy that Dwayne Wade was guarding down the stretch because Jimmy Butler was on Kyle Lowry after guarding DeRozan a lot earlier in the game. And DeRozan and Lowry were magnificent again. And Butler had to chase him around, which adds to the night he had because he's expending so much energy defensively. But DeRozan had a runner for the win. And then as the Bulls' defense was kind of scattered, the rebound went to Lowry. And Jimmy wasn't anywhere near Lowry because he was just trying to get back on defense in general to stop ball. And Lowry has a look from like 10 feet in the lane, just a little leaner runner that kind of goes off the side of the rim. The Raptors, they're cursed. It's 10 in a row they've lost to the Bulls, which is, I mean, what were you doing December 31st, 2013? You were probably at a New Year's Eve party. That's the last time the Toronto Raptors beat the Bulls. We've had couple coaches in Chicago, a lot of players, a lot of wild, crazy games. Doug McDermott went for 30 last year. I know Derrick Rose has lit him up before. The Raptors are cursed.
That was before the Rudy Gay trade, too. That was a very different Raptors team.
That was a very different era of like society and everything. That was so long ago. And the Raptors look at a chance next month in mid-February to beat the Bulls again. But it's like they have to think they're almost cursed or something at this point because the Bulls certainly have their number, but Dwayne Wade, he's got it. That you want to complain to the officials, that's fine. It can't be on that play. It cannot be in that moment. You can't even look at them. Like, you have to bust your butt all the way back immediately because that is the biggest moment of the game, and it really put the Bulls in a precarious position, which they were fortunate to get out of. But the Bulls did get the win. Do you think we'll see more of this closing lineup, though, too? And what do you think? Felicio is in there. Mirotić, as we pointed out, McDermott and Wade with Butler. I think we'll keep seeing a lot of minutes of Jimmy Butler at point guard, but do you think those will be the guys around him?
I think so. I mean, this goes back again to what John Paxson said on Christmas in that radio interview. They want to get a look at some of the young guys. And I think the last several games, we've seen him go with, we've seen Hoiberg go with Chris Felicio down the stretch. And I almost wonder if it's going to make Robin Lopez expendable at some point. I mean, this is getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But he clearly trusts Felicio. And Felicio is, I mean, he still has flaws in his game. He's very raw and very young still. But he has been fine enough on both ends of the floor, especially on the defensive end, that you can put him out there and still be able to win games.
Yeah, certainly. And I think this does, I wanted to go back, I guess, maybe to the theme of the night here with Jimmy Butler, is that before the game, Dwayne Casey, Raptors coach, called him elite. Mm-hmm. After the game, Fred Hoiberg called him one of the league's superstars. You put Jimmy up there with the superstars in this league, there's no doubt about that. Now, the superstar, I guess, conversation is something that's obviously great for headlines. Go to 670score.com, read the story, read the headline, because it is very, very headline worthy. And at times, it's very much just, I don't know that the conversation carries great substance, because does it really matter if you're a superstar or star? It matters what you're producing. But I thought it was important that Fred Hoiberg said that, because that is the highest praise off the top of my head, Sean, I remember Jimmy Butler getting from anyone in this organization who wasn't a player. Like, Dwayne Wade called him special. Dwayne Wade loves him. He'll call him anything. You know what I mean? After a good game. And even Dwayne, though, was kind of measured at times, you know, saying, you know, this is how he gets there. Here's the work he's doing. This is what he's becoming. Like, I see the transformation to this. But Fred saying superstar, and it wasn't like, is the question, is he a superstar? The question was not yet, is he an MVP? Fred said that in like his first or second question, like basically opening comments. And the Bulls on multiple occasions have had the opportunity, John Paxson and Gar Foreman, I know last year's end of the season press conference and then again at Media Day, to say, hey, is he your cornerstone? Is he your future foundational piece that everything else revolves around? And they referenced basically the only untradeable player in history is Michael Jordan, is what they would say. You know what I mean? So they kind of stopped short of that.
And just to transition into this for a moment, there have been some reports about Jimmy Butler trade rumors. I've talked to people in the organization, I've been told that the Jimmy Butler availability in trades is very much overblown and they're not shopping him. And frankly, I don't really see a package around the league that a team could offer that would be realistic, that would be able to be on the table, that would be fair value for him. So I just, you know, no, I don't really want to entertain that too much.
Yeah, and I mean, in-season trades are difficult to get fair value, certainly. So I don't expect anything in-season. Out of season before the draft, maybe, you know, because who knows what happens at the end of the year with the Bulls. Who knows how they approach the offseason and everything. And that's when you're more likely to get fair trade value, because teams would be more willing to part with a key piece to their team when they're not in a playoff race at the moment. And
but
in the offseason, you're not.
But if you're going to, even if the Bulls decide to hit the rebuild button, you rebuild around Jimmy Butler. You get what you can get for Taj Gibson maybe at the deadline. You maybe either trade Robin Lopez at the deadline or during the offseason. Rebuild, just go young, but you keep Jimmy Butler. He's a top 10 player in the league at this point, I think, on a very favorable contract in the prime of his career. You hope that if you rebuild, like, one of the young players you develop eventually becomes as good as him now.
Yeah, and I definitely lean toward that belief that you just put out there. I think it's a bigger conversation, which we will have down the line, just options as they go closer to the trade deadline, which, again, we don't expect any in-season trade of Jimmy Butler whatsoever at all. But options in the offseason, too, what he might be worth, what teams might be willing to pay. But on this night, it was MVP talk for Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? They got that question. Fred Hoiberg said, I think he needs to be considered because of how much he does. He cited his two-way play. Jimmy Butler wouldn't go there. He said, I don't know about that. The only thing I know is we have to keep winning basketball games for that to ever be a part of the conversation. So again, Jimmy Butler, magnificent basketball player, averaging 34 points per game over his last six games. The Bulls are 19-18 as of the final buzzer that was tied for seventh in the Eastern Conference. They've won three in a row over three Eastern Conference playoff teams, two really good teams in the Raptors and Cavs as well. They are off of practice on Sunday. They host the Oklahoma City Thunder, and notably Russell Westbrook on Monday night at the United Center, which we're all stoked by. We love Russ. And Jimmy Butler, he loves Russ too. Gave him a shout-out with the Jordan brand and said he'd like to guard Russell Westbrook Monday night at the United Center, Sean. So hopefully that happens.
Yeah.
For laptop battery powering purposes, I think we're going to wrap up this podcast
yeah.
a touch early and let you guys know you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can find a Facebook page at Locked On Bulls there if that's how you like to navigate to the podcast. Follow Sean at Hike and follow myself at Cody Westerlund. Email us with questions and advertising inquiries at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Most of all, Sean, subscribe.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, subscribe, check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, and thanks for listening. Take it easy, guys.